So moving into the series that I want to really punctuate the rest of the year. So the next 3 weeks, we want to look at this and provide some of the foundations and then revisit particular parts of this, this particular question. How do we live simply? How do we bring a focus to our lives? So often our lives are very confused and very muddled. And that diagram is perhaps an illustration of the way that we at least feel that our lives often is. And so the point of this exercise during this series is to move, to create a bit of focus, to create a bit of direction and guidance for our lives so that we're not all in a whole lot of different directions at once, but moving with that objective. We heard again in our gospel today, Jesus setting his face resolutely towards Jerusalem. We heard many weeks ago, and we're reminded today that Jesus continues along this journey to Jerusalem, the sense of focus that guided so much of the life of Jesus. How do we bring that focus, that understanding of what is essential in our lives to our own things? One of the confusions that really began to enter into people's lives in the 20th century was this philosophy that we can have it all. And so marketing especially began to focus our attention on saying, yes, of course, we can give you more credit. And so you can have this and this and this and this and this. And this whole sense of our lives no longer being focused, but scattered in all kinds of directions. And yes, we can have it all as long as you want that to be the result. This sense of confusion and muddle and all sorts of things mixed in. Yes, we can have it all, but is that the best thing for us? The word priority entered into the English language in the 15th century. And at that point, priority still means the first or the prior thing. And for the next 500 years, the word continued just to mean the first thing. What is the priority of your life? But then something weird began to happen in the 20th century. And rather than having a single priority, we pluralized the word, and so we now speak about priorities. We have priority one and priority two and priority three. How many workplaces have that sense of all these different things, and we're told all of them is the number one thing that you have to focus on? And you're like, how can there be more than one number one in our lives? And yet this sense that we think that if we bend the word, we can begin to bend reality, we can distort reality. But no. It's not possible. There can only be a single priority in our lives. Can we have it all? Can you have many priorities? One of the realities is that if our lives are like this, if we're moving in all kinds of different directions and we're thinking, well, I'll put a little bit of energy into this and then I'll put a little bit of energy into this and then I'll put something else into here. It's good for our dance moves, but it's not good for a focus, for a sense of objective and purposefulness in our lives. If the effort that we expend is rather than being scattered in a dozen different directions at once, if we are able to bring that focus into something that we really believe in, something that passionately drives us, then our effort can have that sense of purpose and fulfillment in our lives, rather than being scattered in so many different directions, to bring it all into that sense of just setting our face resolutely towards Jerusalem and following through on that. The yellow arrows and the blue arrows are the same length. It's that sense, if we bring that focus to one project, at least at a time, then we can actually follow through and bring great joy and satisfaction to that. One of the things that perhaps we learned as children is that one is good, so therefore two must be better. So you have one piece of cake. Well, that's good. So you have two pieces of cake. But what does that lead to if you have two pieces of cake? Well, three obviously is way better than two pieces of cake. And four pieces of cake is way better than three. And what happens at the end result of eating way too much cake or whatever, apart from putting on way too much weight, we often end, you know, particularly when we're younger, you just eat or drink way too much. And what happens? Yes, it's not a very pleasant kind of scene, either for ourselves or anyone else kind of around us. One is good, and perhaps we need to remember and reclaim that truth that sometimes less is actually more, that less is the better choice in our lives. It's in discovering this principle and living this principle, having a few things that you really love and allowing those few things to really mark and shape our lives, rather than this multitude of stuff that just owns us in the end. One of the things we discover is that the richest people in the world are not the ones who have the most, but the people who need the least. It's such an important principle to remember. You know, it's in those moments when we're just content with the one friend that we're sharing life with at the moment. We're just content with the fact it's a beautiful sunny day. We're just content with the joy and wonder of watching a child play. Just the simple things in life that can fill us with such joy and such wonder. It's not in having all this stuff. What happens when you begin to accumulate more stuff? Do people get happier? Do people feel more content? No, all that happens is the stress begins to rise and we get more muddled and more confused as the result of that. It's a great thing to be free from all of those. And so one of the things that we can discover is that, yes, if you get something new, then you need to get rid of something else. Rather than just building bigger cupboards and having more storage space in the garage. I mean, when you drive around and you see people with their garage doors open and you think, that's why the cars are on the street. There's no room in the garage for the cars anymore. Or how many people actually pay for storage containers in those places? Because there's just no room in their house, no room in their garage, not only for the cars, but for all of the stuff that we continue to accumulate over the years. And yes, I know the reality of that, having moved about 20 times now as a priest, that you're just packing up all this stuff and you're thinking, why on earth am I bringing all of this stuff with me? And there's a freedom in simply sometimes saying, look, maybe that thing has served its purpose in my life. And it's harder when someone has given you something, it's a present, and you know, you weren't particularly attached to that item when they gave it to you, but there's something about, there's a sentimentality about it. But maybe it's just saying to that object, thank you for the friendship that you represent. Thank you for blessing me, you know, 20 years ago when that person gave it to me. But maybe it's now time to let it go. Maybe it's time to bless someone else with that object. And so this principle, if we get one, then we should give one away. So we get a new shirt. What do? We give one away. Some Vinnies will love us for giving more of our stuff away. So you get a new pair of pants. What do? You give one away. You get a new dress. What do? You say, Father, why are you getting a new dress? You get new underwear. What do? We probably throw the old unders away. You probably don't give that to the Vinnies. But this sense, you get one and you give one. If there's stuff in your wardrobe that you haven't worn for the last year, what do? Just get rid of it. If it's not helping you, if it's not giving you satisfaction, if it's not allowing you to find that life and that freedom, then we need to be free from those things. Today we heard the story of the 10 lepers. All 10 were healed. All 10 found new life, but only one came back. Only one had that attitude of gratitude and thankfulness in their lives. And yet, where were the other 9? It's this desire to be thankful that should motivate our whole focus in our lives. And we'll be trying to bring that focus into our lives over the course of the next few weeks.